Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Now you're very welcome along to this evening's football show. We have with us, as we're making a habit now, mostly on a Tuesday, Pat Nevin, of chatting to you. How you doing?
I'm absolutely great. Nice weather, gorgeous weather, and I'm now only 5 days away from my first game of golf here in Scotland. So excited about it, but also excited about football coming back as well, because it's looking more than likely now, in case there's, unless there's anything mad that goes wrong, but the Premier League could be back fairly soon. And I have to say, I've thought all along that it was likely to happen. They would find a way to make it happen, but you know, we have to make sure we do everything right and everything safe and all that sort of stuff as well. But it's going exactly the direction I thought it would go. So
there was too much money at stake for it not to happen. I think that was the simple underlying truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow the money. If you follow the money, you probably get the right answer. But it's got also other benefits that come with it. You know, the benefits of, you know, keeping a lot of people employed, the benefits of, you know, keeping people interested. You know, a lot of people, some people have got bored. I've not, but some people have got bored. And they kind of need something to take their minds off it. And the longer this goes on to whatever level, but it's not a complete lockdown now in England, and certainly Scotland, where I am, it's we're a few days away from it. There's a wee bit, but there still is a lack of opportunities to go out to do things that entertain you. So it's needed, you know, to some degree.
Well, it means very soon we'll be talking about matches at a weekend. So before normality resumes, we've asked you, with not much notice, I should say, in your defence here, you're working a little bit off instinct, but we've asked you, it's cheap, it's nasty, it's clickbaity, but we have asked you nonetheless to pick your Premier League 11, 1992 season, right through to present day, Pat Nevin's best 11.
Right. Well, the first thing, yes, didn't get much time, but to be honest, that shouldn't be that much of an excuse. There's enough players to pick from. I don't mind clickbait. I don't mind all that. The only problem is, as soon as you put it out there, you get abuse.
Oh, sure.
Good news, I won't be reading any of it, so I don't care. But it was actually quite interesting to start thinking about it. So, typical of me, I want caveats. Like, I want, what do you mean the best? Your favourite? The best players or the best numbers? Not the best numbers, because anyone can go and organise that. That's a piece of cake. Mm-hmm. But you have to some degree, think, you know, a lot of people do this and think, what would be the best team, you know, structured together? No. Either the best or indeed my favourite players. That's what I'm going for.
Perfect. Give us the rationale as we get to each player. So I'm curious about this. We've been talking a long time now, coming up probably on a decade sooner rather than later, and we've never done something like this before. So I am genuinely curious. Where are we starting? Of course,
before we go anywhere, when I start, if you think at any point, write down a couple of names that you think will be in my team, right? And see if you get any of them right. So I don't really know which system, but it's kind of 4-4-2-4-3-3. I think it's the most acceptable one. I used to cheat with these things and go with three at the back so you could get three centre backs in. But let's start at the keeper. And it's not easy. Couple of news. One, I was so tempted to just annoy folk to go for Neville Southall, because he played during this era and managed to go with both eras. And I worked with him. He was absolutely astonishing. But we're talking Premier League keepers here. And it's not the one that jumps out to you. And it's not, he's not the right one for that era. Pre that era, yeah, he's the man. So it came down with a lot of thinking. It came down to Petr Cech and Schmeichel. A lot of goalkeepers around there. I think had Courtois, the way he started and the way he was improving, and he stayed and kept on improving that level, he'd have beaten both of them. He really would have beaten both of them. But he didn't. And he moved. And I think he plateaued really quite early. So that was the other one. There's one guy going through from the outside, which I'm not sure if many people agree, but Brad Friedel would be right up there for me.
Would he?
As a pure goalkeeper. Not always playing with the best team. And sometimes that's a mistake we make.
Sure.
With a lot of these things. There's guys that play with teams that aren't sexy, stylish, and don't have the trophies, and they get ignored. And they were unbelievable. There's not that many of them, but there's a few. And there's one of them in my team. There's one of them definitely in my team.
Okay.
So Friedel should be considered, but he's not going to get it. Like, so I'm back to the toss-up, really, between Schmeichel and Cech. I actually think all but for the last year and a half or whatever, De Gea would be up there as well. He had been that good. But you're thinking to yourself, who do I want in goal? You know, if I'm to save my life, who do I want in goal? It's going to be Cech or it's going to be Schmeichel. It really is. And that's what it's down to. I'm starting this conversation, not sure I'm going to end it. It's tough. It's really tough. If I say Cech, it's, oh, because you're Chelsea.
Correct.
But in actual fact, it's probably Schmeichel.
It's definitely Schmeichel.
Right. And the reason being, both of them are amazing, right? He changed goalkeeping. Two people that changed things. And he did change it. He changed the way it was considered, the way it looked. You know, there was no question when he was playing who was the best. It was him. You know, whereas, you know, Cech, there was others around and you would talk about others. He kind of didn't do that with Schmeichel. And of course, you can throw in the fact that his team was brilliant as well. And, you know, it was a big, big part, an important part of that as well. But if the ball was being crossed into the box and there was going to be a chance and I had to choose somebody to be in there, hand on heart, it's probably going to be Schmeichel.
Would have been interesting to see him in the modern era with the demands on his feet.
Exactly. To be honest, but the Cech wasn't any good at that either. Let's be fair. Cech wasn't any good at that. And Courtois was terrible at that sort of thing. So some of these goalkeepers, I mean, I would have been interested to see. And I mentioned Southall there. Southall's attitude to anyone that took the ball off him was just to batter them. You know, in training particularly, I have to say. So he maybe wouldn't have done so well with the ball at his feet either. So they'd have had to adapt it. But not sure about it. You can look at it. Cech, he improved a bit, but miles away. Nowhere near to the standard of the Arsons, etc. And so it's a big old jump for them to do it. But you only play in the times you can play. You know, if you are coming through now and you have to have different skills, you will adapt those different skills.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they would... Had they been given the backing, I feel sorry for where I'm mentioning Cech there. It's not his fault. Those rule changes came in after he'd learned all his skills. That's not them. It's not their fault. Keepers coming in now, you better be any good with your feet. There's no excuse for you now. You just better be pretty good because it's part of the game. So whereas they've all got an excuse, the modern ones have got less excuse.
Right back.
Right, can I tell you, this is the hardest position. Of all the positions, this is the hardest position. Because there wasn't that many that jumped out at me. Now, maybe I spend my time looking at left backs because I played most of my career, a large part of my career on the right, but not all of it. But the right back one, I thought was really, really tough. Now, everyone's going to say the same guy right away. I'm going to say Gary Neville. You would accept that? That's the first name? You know, the number of games played, you know, played for England, steady, kind of never done much wrong. Technically, it was always quite good as well. Was he the very best player in that position? I was kind of hoping not, because where was the flair? Where was that extra added thing that you hammered down the line that, you know, you overlapped but you underlapped, you kind of took a player on now and again? I grew up watching fullbacks like Danny McGrain. He was a brilliant dribbler as well. He's been a great defender and a decent cross of the ball and all that. There's other defenders from right back who would score you a few goals. He didn't do that either. So absolutely, I think Gary Neville's up in the discussion. I'm no arguing with that at all. But it was something really, I thought, please make there be a better one than that. And I started looking around. And there's not many that you can jump out.
No.
I'll get a point to that now. And I know, and I'll just take it, because there will be a few Chelsea players in there. Branislav Ivanovic, he gave you so much more. He gave you goals. If you wanted to play him as a right centre-back, right of a three, left of a three, got up there, got crosses in, unbelievably hard to beat. Wasn't particularly quick, but also added goals going forward. You know, sometimes from open play, sometimes he was as good a striker. See, when he was up front, and the ball came into the box, if the ball came to his feet or his head, he was as good a finisher as most centre-forwards. But you didn't notice it because he wasn't getting that in that position that often other than at set pieces. And watching Branislav for all these years, for his limitations, because he didn't even look the most mobile player.
No.
I just thought he brought all those different things. You know, if it's a squad player you want, you go Branislav immediately because you're going to cover so many other bases. But after you watched them after a while, who would I prefer to play against? Which it kind of comes down to a wee bit for me. I'd rather have a go at Neville. I think Branagh would be harder to get by. So in kind of all those areas, I'm with Branagh slightly.
Okay.
Gary's got all the other bits that you hit in with the, you know, the probably more medals or whatever, all that stuff. Millions of that stuff. All the games played, all that. Better actual all round player. Branagh.
If we're doing this in 5 years and current trajectories continue, Trent Alexander-Arnold is your right back, is he?
Along with Reece James, probably Trent first, but those two are still the best I've ever seen. I would say at the moment Trent's ahead without a doubt, but he's about a year ahead of the trajectory. You're going to the biggest battle in history, but I think Trent's that good a player, he'll step into midfield eventually, won't he? You know, yeah. It would just be.
Oh, do you think so? Yeah.
Yeah, but oddly so will James. I mean, Reece James will be a centre midfielder. He's perfectly comfortable being a centre midfielder. I've watched him play there. He played there for Wigan a season before and got the Player of the Year. I mean, he can do it. He's only a kid, like. So, but Trent, absolutely. And it's a tough thing to say, but then what I said to you before about Courtois, he comes in and you think this is the best thing since sliced bread, but the trajectory kind of levelled off. And there's been a few like that. The best left-back, I think, God, name's gone for me, left-back from Manchester City last year, he got in 2 years ago.
Mendy.
Got in, yeah.
Sorry? Benjamin Mendy.
Mendy, yeah. Watched him, Benjamin Mendy, at start and thought, right, that's it. All bets off, he's going to be the best left-back. But it didn't happen. You know, he got an injury, he just didn't look right after that. For a short period of time, for 6 months, I hadn't seen anyone better at all in that position. But it was only 6 months, and it's never really come back to that level, or even close to it. So you need to keep on doing it.
Okay. So is your left back, I'll come back to centre house in a moment, is your left back Ashley Cole? Is that a simple one?
No, absolutely not. it's fantastic. I think there's three.
Can I tell you who they are?
Yes.
Ashley Cole, Dennis Irwin, Patrice Evra.
No. Ashley Cole, Stuart Pearce, and Liam Baines.
Why is Dennis Irwin not in your at least top three there?
No, I like Dennis, a player, an absolute super player. We're a great player. But we're talking the absolute pinnacle. Stuart Pearce, for a period, was the best left back in the world. Yeah. In the world. You know, so others were great, probably even the best for a wee period of time. There was a period of time I think he was the best in the world. And I played against him for 15 years. Now, at the start, I've watched the guy's progression. It was amazing because he spent his first 5 years just trying to kick people or lunging in at people and not learning and just being a big bully-looking guy. And he just got better and more sophisticated the entire time, every time, improve. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at his numbers and goals that he added, the free kicks, the penalties, and the fact that he's playing for Nottingham Forest, he ended up going down the leagues, you know, and he stuck by them. You're not telling me that he could have spent an eternity with Manchester United and no one would have got him out of his position. No chance. I hope. He would have been a fixture there. He'd have been a fixture at Arsenal or Chelsea or anywhere. He would have been the one and he wouldn't have moved him. Ashley Cole as a player was brilliant as well. I mean, no doubt about it. Throw him in there, obviously, because he had just about everything you want for an all-rounded left-sided player. He wasn't great at amazing at crossing the ball. It's another thing to give Pearce. Power and the precision of his crosses was very, very good, right up there with the top ones as well. The reason why I throw Baines in there, you know, the free kicks, the intelligence of movement and understanding, I think he nodded that something was coming. You know, if Baines would play for Barcelona with his style, that's fine, because you could play that style and you could do your 1-2s and play tiki-taka. You'd be comfortable in that as well. I would be very, very happy with him doing that. To be honest, on the right-hand side, Coleman gets a shout as well because he was just about the same level. So I'm with you with that one, that these people shouldn't be ignored. But we're talking about absolute rarefied level here, and that's why, you know, I would put them three. I did think about Dennis. It's not that I've forgotten him. I did think about him. And if you're talking about nice guys, he's in the team right away. Maybe first pick. But I'm kind of with Piercy. And Piercy, he really did change it and think about how long. And by the way, another mate of mine, Lasso, because he's a mate of mine, kind of counted against him a wee bit because I knew him so well. I'm thinking, I'm not sure. But when you go back to my original discussion about right backs, who would you rather play against? Be serious. I mean, be serious. Mm. I loved playing against Stuart Pearce for one reason. He was the best and he was the hardest by the end of his career to get by. And also you spent your time going that way, chasing back behind him. So okay. Stuart spent a lot of time out with the Premier League, but it wasn't his fault. He was good enough to be in it all the time.
Okay. Give me your centre-half pairing then.
By miles the hardest. By miles, by a million miles. Would you agree with that?
I have given this no thought prior. I was doing other pre-records. I've just come on. You're hitting me. I've given this no thought.
Right, okay then.
Give me the 4 or 5 in contention.
At least. Right, okay, I've got you. John Terry, obviously, gets shouted in there. Yip Stan. Virgil van Dijk. Vincent Kompany. Ricardo Carvalho, who I adored. Rio Ferdinand. Wow. Adams. Vidic. I mean, honestly, Pali, you know, there's millions. They just keep on coming. There are millions of them. And you just think, well, I don't know who's better than who is better than who. You then need to actually bring on, right, okay, what did you do in the Premier League? I think you need to do that with these ones. So it's a tough one. Mm. My favourite, for years and years, my favourite defender that I'd watched in Premier League football for years was Carvalho. By years. And remember, he won Player of the Year 1 year.
So did Paul McGrath, but I appreciate he was...
That's before time. To be honest, Paul McGrath, he's easy that company.
He was 93 Player of the Year, Players Player.
So absolutely easy that quality.
Yeah.
Not even a question mark, easy. You're talking length of time and other things that maybe slightly held him back.
That's true.
Not the entire length of time. For the same reasons as Neville Southall.
Yeah.
Not quite enough and not absolute peak for a lot of it. But yeah, no, without a doubt, if you talk about Vincent Kompany, you're definitely talking about him as well. 100%. Not, and everybody I've ever met in football would agree with that argument. We're trying to get them to get the best ones. And I'm just going to stop mucking about and I'm going to give him my two right. And you can just slaughter me for the rest. Van Dijk and Kompany.
Van Dijk and Kompany.
Kompany. It's another one I kind of think we're already beginning to forget how important he was in that team. And it was that period of time when you had Touré and things like that. You just thought centrally through that middle of that team, you're amazing. And I remember how good he was in the ball. And it was and the thing is, he's another classic. It was a bit real. They're up there, right at the top of the screen, right? And seeing the loss of pace, whoa, down there, cliff, gone. And he was kind of a bit like that as well. It was amazing when it happened. When you saw him, when he didn't have that effortless, explosive pace, he just kept on getting caught out. He kept on getting himself square. And you just thought, and it made you question how good he was originally. But it was very, very late. He'd had enough brilliant seasons up until then, to my opinion, to be put in there as well. Now, remember, I'm saying this, John Terry in there, and I'm thinking, for what he'd done, for the effect he had and all that sort of stuff, but no. Kompany was a better player.
Was he better? I was sure John Terry was in, actually.
No, I think as a... But JT was very good, actually, coming out with the ball as well. By the way, I held back and didn't put David Luiz in there.
Just to troll people. I would have thought, Yap Stam as well was just so brilliant for a period. It's very tough. So Van Dijk...
He's on the list. He's on my list. Without a doubt, he's on the list. This is when bias comes into play as well.
Yeah.
My bias is... You got to be a footballer as well.
Fair enough.
No,
I figured your team would be a footballing team. Okay, you're back for Ivanovic, Van Dijk, Kompany, Stuart Pearce. We don't need to talk Van Dijk. We've done it every week for about 2 years. So are you going 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 in the end?
Well, it's a kind of both. And I'll explain why, right? So what I'll do is I'll give you the midfield winger, right? So there's going to be three... Two midfielders, a winger, and a kind of midfield winger. So some guys can do both, right? So my midfield winger is going to be De Bruyne because he is, for vision and all, one of the best I've ever seen. And they add so many different things to the game as well. And then a team full of complete and utter geniuses, he's there. I mean, he's there at the front of them, which is saying something. I mean, that period of time. And again, slightly considering having watched him early on, to keep on improving to that level was extraordinary. He was absolutely amazing. And he never seems to miss a pass.
I remember watching him. I was on holiday. Sometimes some matches you can just remember very well. I remember being on holidays however many years ago. And, you know, you'd go to in Spain and you'd go to the bar to watch a game, something to do of an evening. And it was a game at Old Trafford. And De Bruyne, I think, was playing up front on his own for Chelsea. And I remember thinking, this lad's rubbish. He has nothing.
They stuck him out in the wing as well. It just kept on putting them in the wrong positions. It was awful.
It's like, in hindsight, it's one of the worst ever.
Well, oddly enough, I had a different take on it at the time, because there was a few games, you used to play them in League Cup games and things like that, and they stick him out in the right wing, and I'd watch the guy and I'm thinking, stop trying too hard, stop it. Yeah. Every time you get in the ball, you try to do a million things to show you're good enough to get into this team. The gaffer just isn't going to do it. He's got his team that settled, they win the leagues that year anyway. You know, but just go and play your own game. But he was so angry and so frustrated and so desperate, he actually looked the worst player than he was. I kept on seeing little bits thinking, no, you're really good. Now, we've all been there. Every pro has been there. And particularly, I know that position out in the wide areas, knowing that the gaffer doesn't really want you. So you have to be, you need to score a hat trick every week. So what do? Do you chuck it? And you try and score a hat trick every week. You try and score a hat trick every week, so you end up not doing the right things. You over try, you over develop, you over everything. It was very, very clear to me at the time that De Bruyne was doing that. Oddly enough, Salah wasn't doing it at the time, but De Bruyne was doing it, and it was so upsetting to see. But then he goes away, comes back, and then you can put him right wing, you can put him left wing, you can put him centre midfield, you can put him anywhere, and he'll probably be the best player on the field.
That is the voice of Pat Nevin. Short ad break. We're going to continue with Pat's midfielders next.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Welcome back. So Pat Nevin is with us. We are running through his Premier League era 11. His all-time 1992 through to 2020 Premier League 11. Now we're on to the central midfielders. You have two central midfielders, Pat. We are on Irish radio. So should I just pencil in Roy Keane and we'll move on?
Nope.
I knew you didn't have him in. I knew you didn't have him in. Because I remember a while back when, I think it was when Gerrard retired, you were saying you had Gerrard above Keane as an all-round midfielder. So I figured you wouldn't have Keane in here. How close was Keane to your team?
If I was picking a team to win the game, Keane would be playing. He would put him straight in. If I wanted to win the game and have all these other players around that I've got, I would put Keane in because I need him. And I need all that stuff in there. And I might now win 4-5, 6-0. Team I'm putting out is probably going to win 6-5. And I'd rather watch that. And that's all it is. The reason why, if you're right to put Keane and Gerrard in the argument between the two, because, not similar as such, but they have a lot in common. They were so core to their team, to their group. But there was a period where Stevie G was the team. And it was a long period where he was basically the entire team. Mm-hmm. And there was periods where they were fighting and battling for competitions. And it was only him. The rest of it was all right. But it was very all right. And Stevie G now and again, it's only when going to games, and it is going to games that change that made me think the way I thought about Stevie, is because this is the classic. He was the best defender, the best midfielder, and the best attacker on the field. And it was one guy, and we used to think, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it was, I really would put him up there in the best I've ever seen. And I remember I loved watching Brian Robson in his day in a similar way. You always felt as if there was three of them on the pitch. And it was horrible. They had extra men on the pitch because they had all the, the Stevie Gerrards, or indeed all the Brian Robsons, because they were everywhere. It was so annoying. And it's hard to explain what these guys, a wee bit like Ante's like just now. How did you get there? You were over there. You don't get it.
Yeah.
And Stevie G had that, but he also had the attack, the flair, the everything. So you're right to see it. Stevie G does actually get in there.
Yeah,
and it is precisely instead of Keane.
instead of Keane. I see. I figured that. So here's the. Me and all Irish people are biased horribly on this. One of the points that John Giles, who was a television pundit and still on the show with ourselves now, but in his TV punditry as well, would have made about Stephen Gerrard, even in his peak years, was John Everson was a natural midfielder. And by that, I mean someone who could dictate the game, control the game. The all action aspects of Gerrard are just mind blowing. As you said, the best defender, tackler, his power, you know, running over long distances, pace and short, you know, the goals, my goodness, the goals, the temperament. But actually, maybe it's now received wisdom, because John Giles is sort of like a godlike figure who dictates what we think about the game. But the received wisdom over here, I think now, is that Gerrard lacked that one crucial component to be a true central midfielder, which was the ability to pick up a game, put it in his back pocket and dictate it in a way that maybe we feel Keane could. Is that, do you agree with that on Gerrard? Did he have that missing?
One of the things you ask anyone, be it John Giles, be it me, be it anyone, you have to remember who they were as well. I watched John Giles play. He's always going to pick Keane. He's always going to pick Keane. Because they weren't the same. Absolutely not. John was so skillful. I mean, he's reading the play with him. He had that nastiness as well. And he didn't look as if he should, because he had that skill and he had that vision and he had that ability to control. If you see someone who's an absolute mirror of you, but maybe even a better version, oh my God, it's impressive. It really is impressive. It's a fantastic thing to see. And that's what it is. And it's not even because he's Irish. I think John Giles, anytime I've talked to him, he would just tell you, and we know, he would tell you straight, wouldn't he? It's nothing got to do with Keane being Irish. Nothing. It's because he thinks he is the best. And he's absolutely right to think that from his perspective. And it's not, it's close. It's like we're all saying here, what people want to say, oh, so you don't rate Keane? Of course we do. We think he's one of the best players ever. It's not that argument at all. Yeah. And it's the kind of road you go down and you start trying. You'll notice I've not dissed anything about Keane. I've not said, I remember he didn't do that. I've not done that, because there isn't particularly anything.
Yeah.
That's where we have to, that's where I'm, when you're talking about this kind of level, you're not dissing them. You're just thinking these amazing things and why they are extra special.
Yes. Well, look, I can't argue with Stephen Gerrard. A phenomenon. Utterly, utterly just almost a fictional character at times, the way he did things for Liverpool. So you've De Bruyne sort of on the right. You've Gerrard in one of the central midfield spots. Who's alongside him?
Right. So the list was Yaya Toure, Vieira, Keane, obviously. Cesc Fabregas got a shout. Xavi Alonso. Wow. What a player. They loved it. Kante, Makaleli. If I wanted somebody to sit, no do. Scholesy for pure technical, stick him in the Barcelona team. Mm-hmm. He's as well. But there's a name I've missed out. And just the numbers are just berserk. Just berserk. Frank Lampard scored so many goals from that position. It's just bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. I still can't get my head around it. Is he a better player than five of those guys I've just mentioned? No. They're all better than him. They're all better footballers. They all showed to be better footballers. Mm-hmm. But those numbers over that period of time and the effect that he had in that group that he was playing with was absolutely astonishing. And it took me years and years and years to understand what he was doing, how he was doing it, because he made it look so damn stupid, you know, stupidly easy. You know, oh, he's got another tap in. Oh, he's got another tap. And then I've explained to you before, it's all about this, manipulating your body to always get a one touch, timing, vision, thinking ahead, all that sort of stuff. So that stuff is easy to say, unbelievably hard to do. The more you studied them, the more you thought, nobody can do that to any level. We've all seen somebody, I remember Brian McClair used to do it really well. Years before, possibly your time, a guy called John Watt used to be amazing at it. Mm. I say, Robbo, you know, this late arrivals, you know, they were amazing at it. No one's come close. Just look at the numbers. I played with Kerry Dixon at Chelsea, right, 193 goals, and I thought, well, no one's ever going to get near that. You tell me a midfielder's going to beat it, I'd say you're off your head. You're a nutcase. The numbers are unbelievable. And I know everyone will say, you know my argument, but this Lampard and Gerrard, they didn't work together. The problem was, what was wider than them? And I've got people wider than them who do the job that need to do.
Okay. De Bruyne, Lampard, Gerrard, who's your fourth midfielder come striker?
So now we're on, a winger. I'm allowed, I have to have a winger there, right? So I need my winger. So it was hard not to have two. Go on, who would you put? I'm throwing at you first. Who would you put? Who would your winger be? It doesn't matter left or right.
We're talking out and out winger.
No, wide attacker. Wide attacker.
Well, wide attacker is very different. Is it a front three?
Well,
if it's a front three, then I'm saying Henri is in that area.
No, I'm keeping Henri for the centre forwards and all that. All those ones are all going to be centre forwards.
Give me your three or four contenders so I have a feel for the type of player you mean.
Eden Hazard will be shouting.
Okay.
Maka, maybe, but he was more central.
Yeah.
Ronaldo was quite good, apparently. Giggsy, Mahrez, David Silva, does a bunch.
Okay. Well,
it's hard, isn't it? I know what everyone will go for. There's not even a question. Everyone goes to
that. What I'm thinking here is you'll assume I'll say Ronaldo, and I can kind of stand over that, but I know you have a love affair with De Silva. Or with Silva, rather.
I think most people would probably go for Giggsy.
No, but even that Roy Keane Vieira documentary, Keane made the point, look, just because you've had a great career doesn't make you a truly great player. And Giggs, if he hadn't played for 20 gazillion years, you know, I'm not going to diss Ryan Giggs either, but you know.
No, to be honest, horrible as he wasn't quite close to my last choice. You know, there was a lot of people I would put in before him, four or five.
Mm.
To be fair, and this is a name that hurts people, Gareth Bale for a period of time was the best. He was just unstoppable. And it was, you saw somebody who, yeah, of course you're going to Real Madrid, you're too good for everybody else. I mean, I kind of hoped he would go to Man United, I thought he would be the perfect United player.
Yeah.
But there was a period there, and it's easy to forget it there because we've all been slightly, his position has been tarnished by this latter part of his career, and this is suggesting that he's very like me in many ways. I'd rather be on the golf course just now. But, you know.
No, 100%. I think 08 Ronaldo gets in there, but go on, hit me.
I think Ronaldo was brilliant at the time, but the Ronaldo turned up mostly when he went to.
Sure, I'd accept that.
And that's why it's not Ronaldo. And it's a pure bias. I described to you before, loving players like Giles, who love Keno because it's him, but only better. Silva is exactly me, but only better. He's exactly the type of player I was trying to be, but a million times better. And I suppose if people are going, oh, Ronaldo, he was quicker, bigger, taller, you know, Giggsy, faster, all that sort of stuff. The super intelligence of his game over this period has been extraordinary. And it's just kind of not dipped over that length of time. And to get to be that good and to live at that level, where you could actually be mentioned alongside Xavi Iniesta, which you could be, that's world class for me. And I think most people who watched it for a period of time thought that. I will admit, hands up right now, a bit of bias. He is my favourite player of the Premier League era, so I was not going to leave him out. Just because if I had to have a choice of going to watch any player play, it was him. Maybe De Bruyne was a better player, or is a better player. Some others, every player I've mentioned, I've loved watching. If I had to choose one to go and watch and just stand and, you know, stroke the chin and look at for an entire 90 minutes,
yeah,
that would sell it.
No, I get that aspect. I mean, there were days, there's games you remember where he just was poetry in motion and utterly dominated. What about the ultra big games, Champions League nights, severest of pressure? Did he dominate those games? Well, to the extent that anyone can dominate games at that level, but when it really came to crunch time, did we see the David Silva that you saw so routinely across the Premier League season?
That's why he's out wide. He's not a dominator. He's not a dominator of games. I mean, if he was a central midfielder, I want him to be that big, massive.
Okay, an impactor. I'll change the word from dominator to an impactor on those.
He's had impacts in big games. You know, there's been European, there's been World Cup games that he's had good impacts in as well. But maybe not. No, he's not the guy that scored the goal, but he creator a lot of the time. You talk about, you know, I can give you lots of other people who probably won as many medals. You know, I can tell you right now what season there's lots of guys, you know, gone that bad. Jimmy will be away for football for a long time. and then you forget all the names quickly. In simple terms, have a look at the medals won by Pedro and the goals scored by him and the importance of him. You know, I think he's maybe second in the world at the moment with a number of trophies and medals. Are you putting Pedro in before Silva?
No.
Well, no, you're not. Of course you're not. Because, no. But you could also say that Pedro scored in European Cup finals. You know, you throw all that in, and it is an argument. I accept the argument, but I'm putting my best team together. And my best team's going to go and play in another game, and my best team is going to beat everybody as far as I'm concerned.
That's fair enough. To be fair, I was chatting to Damien Delaney once, and he was chatting about Silva and talking about how he was just the most difficult, the most impossible, the most intelligent, just controlled everything around him when he was on the ball. It was just impossible to get near him. And you thought, you know, you big lad, Damien Delaney said, I'll just go and smash him. It just wasn't an option. He was just on a different plane. So that's from someone who's shared a pitch with him and who's played against all of the Premier League best across 6, 7, 8 years. So he was...
A lot say it. And it's not just because he's leaving now. You ask a lot of people at the moment and there's all these gushing tributes to him. Now, you hear a lot of gushing tributes that, you know, people are just pushing it a wee bit. And I've never at any point think anyone's pushing it. They're all saying, okay, no, that's what I feel about him. And certainly that's what I do. And it's back to that thing is, I still think I see things that other people don't see because that was what I tried to do, what I tried to do. And I'm going, oh my God, you don't see what you just done there. It's amazing. And that's why I can love them.
Okay. David De Silva, or I keep calling him David De Silva.
I used to do that at the start, yeah.
David Silva. Is in. Okay. Your two strikers, this is just utterly impossible, a bit like the centre half situation. Your two strikers, 1992 to 2020.
Oh my God, that is. I think the centre halves is really hard as well, but the centre forwards, it's right up there. I mean, there's people that you would really should be in the running, like Luis Suarez, yeah?
Yeah.
But you're not going to, are you? You're a bit too bitey. So it just kind of annoys you a little bit. Yeah. You kind of forget it and you move it on.
My only definite, I would say, without giving it the thought you have, and you've given it about half hour's thought, with the notice we gave you, my only definite would be Thierry Henry. I just, almost actually, of the 11 positions on the pitch, I would say Henry, head and shoulders above anyone who tried to do what he did.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. We've saved ourselves that issue.
You saved yourself one player. The problem was, you know, do you play somebody who's good alongside him? Well, in actual fact, no, you don't, because Thierry could do that on his own. He could play off the left. The intelligence level, everybody knows what he was, right? So, I think he gets in, which is a shame for somebody like Wrighty, because he's not going to get a sniff because Thierry Henry's there. Mm. You know, go back to Fowler, Owen, Harry Kane. I mean, his numbers are brilliant so far. And in time, you just never know. Mm. I think it would be rude not to mention Shearer. It'd be dreadful not to mention Rooney. You kind of have to say them as well. You're looking at players who you love. We not all love Cantona. I mean, any football fan would love Dennis Bergkamp as well. Mm. So all these people in there, and I'm thinking.
Yeah, because we'd Lee Dixon on a while back, and he has Bergkamp above Henry.
And I utterly understand that for pure skill. And again, match intelligence, which is the thing that, you know, you're a connoisseur of football, you love. And he is absolutely one of them as well. It's hard to explain with Henry. It's another effortless level, again, I think. So you got them as well. But you also went through on Didier Drogba there. There was a period in Didier Drogba, I say, was the best centre-forward in the world. The problem with Didier Drogba was it's quite a short period. It wasn't that long a period. Mm. And if I like, because I watched Chelsea very close, as you know, when he first came in, he used to drive me nuts because he was throwing himself about and all that sort of stuff. And there were games, to the point that you made before, there was a lot of games that he didn't turn up. There really were. Thing is, he turned up for the big ones every single time. Mm. He was the definition of the big game player and the absolute definition of it. So for Drogba, you're kind of half tempted by that as well. I'm trying to think. I've written some names right here, Bergkamp. Yeah, I've got most of them that I've mentioned there. Is there any name that I've? I mean, there's lots of names you could put. You know, like lots and lots of names. Manchester. Just go through all Man United centre forwards. But periods of time, you've got another three or four names.
Yeah.
those are the ones, along with Sergio Aguero, that you can't not put Sergio Aguero in because of the number of goals he scored as well. So, one or the other.
I just frantically Googled Premier League top scorers. So Alan Shearer is leading the way on 260. Wayne Rooney is second on 208. I mean, Shearer's numbers, it's hard to argue. It feels very unfair not to include him, but Shearer's 260. Rooney is 208. Andy Cole is 187, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Sergio Aguero is 180. There's your top five.
Mm-hmm. And it's top five in numbers. Then you have to go per game. That makes a difference as well.
Yeah.
You also have to remember the team they were playing in. You know, remember, Shearer wasn't playing for the top team all the time. That really helps Shearer, that one. Massively helps Shearer. You're playing for Newcastle United and Southampton. You're not playing for Man United, Chelsea and Liverpool. You know, so that is extraordinary that way. I'll be honest with you, I always did a slight down of two players. So again, just a bias. We've all got our own biases. Shearer and Drogba. Blunderbuss, you know. Elbows, diving into people, getting a ball in the mixer kind of thing. And there's a bit of you that thinks, very good. You know, I want to be the cerebral football. I like watching the cerebral ones as well. But when you look at both of those players, they also scored some amazing goals that weren't just battering people and thumping people. They were fabulous goal scorers as well. So that was tough. And I can't even make a good argument for not putting Wayne Rooney in, except that I've not. I can't make a good argument against him. I can't, because he's done so much. You know, is it his fault they moved him into four different positions at various times? No. But he still managed to get all those numbers and do what he did with England. Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the sadness of him is everyone thought he was going to be the best player in history. And because he wasn't, he was, you know, just below that level. Well, what a letdown. What? letdown whatsoever. It's amazing what he done. But I'm still not putting Rooney in there. Right, you tell me who you would have put beside him. I know my name. I know the name I'm going for.
I think you are going Sergio Aguero. Mm-hmm. And I am going Wayne Rooney.
It's nice when you don't agree on anything. I'm going to shock and go Shearer.
Are you really? David Silva doesn't want to look up and see Shearer staring back at him.
You're right. And as a pure player, Aguero, but I kind of want everybody to be working as well. You know, and maybe Aguero for me, that's the bit, what great stuff. He was so self-indulgent and selfish some of the time that I wanted somebody who was doing it for the team as well as for himself.
Yeah.
There was some, because I mean,
I would have thought Aguero fits perfectly into your team that you want to win 6-5.
Yeah. It's okay, you've got Henry beside him. No, it's nothing against Aguero. You know,
no, of course. So Shearer then.
The Shearer numbers are outrageous. The Shearer numbers are with a team that weren't creating chances. Now, it's not about going down the line and putting it in the back post. It's a look up and he'll find, if you find him, he'll score. And he will. And as you look at all those great ones of the past, such as Rush all the way to Greaves and all that, you find them, they'll score. And Shearer was, you'll find them, they'll score. And they will find them. And he's a classic centre forward. So there's not many British type players in my team, to be fair. But he's the one that sent out probably.
Yeah, I can't argue with it. So
you can't argue. Don't worry. People will argue.
How do you argue with 260 goals? And as you said, doing it at Newcastle in the main. I mean, what might he have done elsewhere?
Yeah. And we do forget. Remember, a lot of Shearer stuff was really early Premier League days as well.
Yeah.
So there wasn't even, I mean, they hyped it. They certainly hyped it. But it's nowhere near the hype of now. Can you imagine putting somebody on who scored amazing goals every week? You know? Even like where it was, and by the way, it happened to be English, the television studio would explode every week. The excitement would just kill them, you know. So it was amazing that he'd done that. And a lot of people say that, you know, when Sky came on and the Premier League came on, and who really built the brand? Well, yeah, your Beckhams did as well, but you got to see Shearer in a big way help build that brand brilliantly.
Mm.
And what he did with Blackburn, you think about it, Blackburn, they're never going to win the league. Oh, they have. I wonder why.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think Blackburn and I think Ripley on one wing and who else on the other wing. And I think, Newcastle, Shearer getting Ginola up against the wall and saying, swing it into the box, get to the end line and swing it into the box. What kind of goals is Shearer going to score in your team? I can see De Bruyne whipping in a few for him.
No, but I don't think he's just going to get the whip in ones. I mean, my memories of Shearer a lot of time, ball's played up, he chests it down 25 yards out and melts it into the top corner. He's scored a lot of long-range goals. And part of the reason for that is because his team's playing in the break a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But if you played him a slide-through ball, he will go on the end of it. He wasn't stupidly quick, but he made good centre-forward runs. And if you've got intelligent players, again, the type of player, I was a creative player, and I know what I wanted in front of me. I mentioned earlier on, Kerry Dixon scored 193 goals at the top level for Chelsea. Kerry wasn't a great player. Absolutely not. But I know if I do that and put it there, he will score a goal. And all those guys will do exactly the same. You put it in that, you think of the angled balls that De Bruyne puts in, Shearer just finishes.
To be fair, this sounds like I'm questioning the Premier League's highest scorer in history. I'm not. And he was on Gary Neville's Soccer Box on Sky recently, and they showed footage of him in his Blackburn days in particular. He was fast in his early days. So, I mean, I'm lingering on the last season or two in my head, Shearer, the volley against Everton, those type of goals. But he was fast.
Yeah, I'd on top of that, the horrendous injuries he got.
You had to reinvent.
Remember, horrendous injuries. Injuries that a lot of people wouldn't have come back from.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. I remember watching him come back for one of the leg breaks. I think he'll never be the same. 5 minutes into the game, you're going, you look better. you look stronger. It was amazing to see what he did after. He might have slowed down a wee bit, but it didn't have a massive effect.
I get the impression he brings your team a bit of steel, old school steel as well in the dressing room and beyond, which they might need. So Schmeichel, Ivanovic, Van Dijk and company, Stuart Pearce.
That's a strong, by the way, think about the physical size of that as well. That's all right for physique.
Yeah. Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, and then up front, it's Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry. Happy?
I am. And I know any modern football fan or coach will say, where's your whole midfielder? Don't need it with that defence. It's fine. Vincent Kompany and Van Dijk, both of them, I'm happy. Just take one and one. You don't need cover. There is absolutely no need for cover. You've never needed it. I've never seen Van Dijk ever needing cover. It's okay. So people tell you need to sit in midfielder. See what M2 you don't.
You know, it's funny. I'm re-watching currently in full the 05 Champions League final, the Liverpool 3-3 draw, because we're doing a nostalgia piece on it later in the week. And Liverpool started that day with a midfield of Alonso and Gerrard. And honestly, I think Kaká, about 20 minutes in, looked around and said, are you two just giving me this 40 yards space to run amok all my own? And he took it. Gerrard, I'd have a holding one in. I'd have Keane in there. But I take your point on Lampard. It's very difficult.
It's hard. I think, Gerrard's a better player than Lampard. I think there's a number of players who are actually better footballers.
Yeah.
With the one caveat of, I remember watching near the end of his career, Frank was stuck back deep line midfield for a period of time. And I was utterly stunned by how good he was there.
Okay.
Controlling games. And but he didn't need to do that. He just dumped that ability because he had a more important ability to use. So in actual fact, he actually might be a better player even than we thought he was.
Okay, interesting. Well, look, it's going to score lots of goals, this team. Who's your captain?
They all look like captains.
They do.
It has to be Psycho. Piercy's fine.
He's a good captain. Pat Nevin, thanks so much. That was great.
Absolute pleasure. And I want to play in that team, not against.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.